Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. Is the worm and fortunes turning for the Iowa basketball team? We'll talk about that. Talk about yesterday's Iowa women's win and the weekend in sports. Mike Halas joins us as well. It's all coming up on a busy edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Welcome into the Gym Class for a Monday here on KGYN, a sunny Monday here from our studios in the Southwest Side. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids, locally owned and operated. Hope you made it out sometime during the weekend. Catch your favorite game just to spend some time with friends, whatever the occasion was. We certainly like to point you in that direction. They are the official presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program right here on KGYM. A lot to get to on the show today. As I mentioned, we're going to talk to Mike Halas, Gazette sports columnist, of course, covers the Iowa men's basketball team as well. He was in lovely Piscataway on Saturday for the game between the Hawkeyes and Rutgers. And we will talk with him about the bank shot heard round the world, if you will, from the far corner in Piscataway. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Take a look at a busy sports weekend as well. Take a little look at what's happening tonight as far as high school basketball girls and boys tournament action coming your way around the state. We've got boys basketball tonight for you, and we'll get to that lineup right here on KGYM. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good afternoon. A bit of a respite from the weather. That's what everyone seems to be talking about. Wait a day, right?
Yeah, because there are already tomorrow night, allegedly expecting in the next round of snow to come through. And there's already rumors out there, keeping your ear low to the ground, that some of the games tomorrow night may be moved up as far as the girls' regional times. Nothing yet set in stone, but there is at least they are looking at the possibilities because they need to get those games in because those are regional finals coming up tomorrow night. And they don't want to push them off because then it's harder to make arrangements to get to Des Moines, hotels, busing, transportation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So tomorrow night they need to get those games in.
I noticed a new pack of lozenges on your desk. You've got a few games this week.
I do. Starting tonight, we've got games for you, and we'll get things started off. Actually, fresh from his sojourn to Florida, Kissimmee, Florida, Zach Mackey back with us tonight, and he is going to be on the call along with Eric Peterson of a doubleheader out at Xavier at the Ron Dillon Gymnasium. Game one at 6:20 on the FMs, 107.5, 106.3 FM, will be Clear Creek Amana taking on Davenport Assumption, and then immediately following that, it'll be Xavier taking on Vinton Shelsburg. Myself and Phil Dunn will be at Kennedy tonight. It'll be the Cougars and the Burlington Greyhounds in a 4A sub-state first-round game. That's on 1600 AM. That will start at 6:50 tonight, and then as immediately following our Kennedy-Burlington broadcast on 1600 AM, we will bring you on delay the Cyclone Coaches show tonight because I know a lot of people probably very interested in that, especially after the Cyclones' huge victory in Manhattan on Saturday. I think Iowa State just hit another three-pointer. 14 of them they hit in that win.
A ton of them. Lindell Wagington and Taylen Horton Tucker honored today by the conference for their play, and rightfully so. That was a huge victory, 78-64 by the Cyclones in Manhattan. And, you know, Kansas State just had to take care of its own business, up two games in the league. Now it's a crapshoot again. Yep. K-State still leading. But Tech, Iowa State, and Kansas on the doorstep.
True. Congratulations to all the local winners as far as high school wrestling is concerned. We had a wide variety of them on Saturday night. Also, congratulations to West Delaware for winning both the traditional and the dual tournaments in Class 2A, 3A. Waverly Shell Rock was your traditional winner. Don Bosco took both prizes in Class 1A as well. Some great stories. Some great stories, as always. Some kind of a couple of sad stories in there. We're going to talk about all that with KJ Pilcher coming up. He's going to join us tomorrow on the program at 3:30 to wrap up the state wrestling tournament and talk a little college wrestling. But I think the place to start here, and we'd love to hear from you, if you were almost, if you were one of the almost 11,000 that were at Carver yesterday, the Iowa women beating Maryland yesterday, 86-73. If you'd like to weigh in, Hurtina Stocker Jeweler text line available at 319-366-1600. Hurtina Stocker Jewelers, conveniently located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. I was down there. I know Todd was down there as well. And probably it was a very good crowd, really good crowd. Was it probably shortened a little by the snow? Yeah,
sure,
maybe.
Sure.
Maybe 10, maybe 1,500 or so. But it wasn't going to be much more, I don't think. It was going to be a sellout or anything like that. But it was still a very good crowd, a very excited crowd. And Iowa put on, after a little bit of a slow start, a very good show. And as I put it in my sports view today, it was Megan Mania. They were just waiting for everything for number 10. And she did not disappoint after what she had a little bit of a slow start.
No, you thought in the first quarter and in the first half, in which Megan Gustafson only scored 7 points, that Maryland maybe had figured out how to defend her. But it was the other players on Iowa's team. Tania Davis in particular, I thought, had a wonderful first half. And Doyle and Stewart and Olinger and the Civilian and others kept Maryland at bay and earned Iowa a 33-33 halftime tie. And then in the second half, Gustafson just went off and got to the line. A huge disparity in free throws made for Iowa over Maryland, something like 27-4, 28-4. And Gustafson had a lot to do with that. But yes, again, she is the Big Ten Player of the Week, and justifiably so. She was terrific in the second half. There's no question about it. But I thought in that first half that the other Iowa players really kept Iowa in that game by driving to the basket, making some outside shots when Gustafson wasn't available in the post.
Maryland did a really good job of sealing her off, but then Iowa made adjustments. I thought they reversed the ball a lot better toward the back half of the second quarter and into the second half. Started a little bit of dribble penetration. Did some different things to get Megan Gustafson open, and then hit a couple of three-pointers that were pretty key to help her get open as well. And yeah, it was 31-17, 3-2. 31 points, 17 rebounds, 3 blocks, and 2 foul outs that Brenda Freeze was not particularly fond of. I will say this. I thought the fifth foul on the starting post for Maryland was a little questionable, but other than that, they were bodying up on Megan Gustafson, and I spent a good amount of that game just kind of watching her and what she does and how she gets open. And it is truly amazing how you don't see a whole lot of centers, men or women, with footwork as good as Megan Gustafson has. Whether it's a fall away, where it's a lean-in shot, whether it's a hook shot, she can go left, she can go right. She's pretty much mastered the little duck under move, a little Euro step, if you will, the step over. I mean, there's just nothing that she can't do. And that just comes from months, years of practice. Not only high school formative years, but also getting to her college years. And it's just amazing. She's just an amazing, amazing player. Certainly first-team All-American, I got to think.
I agree with all you said, but I would further that by saying she's above-average defender. She doesn't get out of position. She did have a couple fouls. She's a smart passer. Usually doesn't force things, although she did in the first quarter a couple times. But when she feels the pressure coming, she'll kick it back out and kind of reset the play. And she's just a very smart player in addition to all her offensive offensive abilities.
True. Very much so. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. If you were at Carver yesterday and took in the Iowa-Maryland game. Iowa-Maryland now tied at the top of the Big Ten Conference. And Iowa, of course, with the tiebreaker. Top four get double byes in the Big Ten tournament. And there's only three games remaining. The women only play 18 conference games. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, that was the only meeting between Maryland and Iowa this year.
Correct. First time Iowa has beaten Maryland as well, since Maryland has been a member of the Big Ten Conference. So a lot of things to be celebratory about. And Lisa Bluter, by the way, will be a guest on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up later on today. So we invite you to tune in for that from 4 o'clock until 6:50 coming up tonight. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in.
Well, it was quite a weekend for the state's men's basketball teams. We talked about the Iowa women. You go back to the Iowa Rutgers game, and Joe Wieskamp made that, reminded me of the Michael Jordan, Larry Bird commercial, off the ceiling.
off Bear's hand.
Yeah. the Iowa State men, the Iowa wrestling team wrap up a share of the Big Ten Conference Championship. I mean, Drake gets into first place in the Missouri Valley.
20-plus wins.
It's just buried.
20 games.
It's buried in the 10th paragraph on this show.
Yeah. What Darren DeVries has done at Drake has just been absolutely amazing, what he has done. Put them they have a legitimate shot to get to the NCAA tournament this year with a new coach, handful of new players, without their point guard for two-thirds of the season. I mean, this is just an amazing, amazing story. But we talked about the Iowa women. We got a hit on Joe Wieskamp, who, other than a few Megan Gustafson buckets, got the biggest ovation yesterday at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I think it shows a lot. I think a lot of people tweeted about this as well, that, hey, day after you make number one as far as the top 10 plays on SportsCenter, and there you are at Carver Hawkeye Arena supporting the women's team. And Tyler Cook, Macy Daly, and Joe Wieskamp were right there.
Mm-hmm.
Among that, those are the ones I saw. I'm sure there were others there from the Iowa men's basketball team.
I think Fran McCaffrey reportedly was in the tunnel watching the end of that game as well. So, yeah, that sequence of plays. First of all, Rutgers makes a you know, clangs up the front of the rim, off the backboard, into the basket for a go-ahead three-pointer with 3 seconds left. And the strategy going into Iowa's final possession was curious to me. Steve Peichel, the Rutgers coach, had nobody on the basketball and allowed Connor McCaffrey, a baseball player, to make that three-quarter court pass that was tipped.
But I think the tip was part of it. Somewhat.
I think Rutgers got part of that as well. You
know, true, but Bear was an integral part of that.
Because you're saying that it was dialed up for Bear to tip at the Wieskamp?
I think he was going to catch it and do a pirouette pass real quick to find a couple guys. He found Wieskamp. Yeah, it was a luck. There was luck involved. Not saying there's not luck involved, but I think Bear was a part of that
for
play.
For Peichel not to put that 7-footer Dorson on the baseline and force McCaffrey to maybe run that baseline. I know you run the risk of, you know, a charge call if Iowa chooses to go that route. And it's a point of great debate among coaches, whether you put someone on the ball or you leave everybody back.
Kentucky did not in 1992.
No. And Dorson ended up to be that guy. You imagine that. Come on. Three-quarter court length pass, tip, Wieskamp gets the ball nearly going out of bounds and shoots over a 7-footer, probably wingspan up to 12 foot, shaves it off the top left corner of the
back
window
court.
And swish. Come on. Come on.
Iowa's had three games come down to the buzzer. Iowa has won all three, which is a lot different than Iowa basketball past. Maybe it shows that it could be a special year. Who knows? Who knows where Iowa gets placed as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned? Of course, I'm taking a big leap in faith and saying that they're already in the NCAA tournament, but you got to think that's a pretty good possibility at this time. But things are just kind of going the Hawkeyes' way. And we're going to talk to Mike Colas about this because he wrote about it.
Does it indicate something's brewing with this team?
Usually things like this happen when you're going to have a pretty good finish. Now, it doesn't always mean the case, but usually. 319-366-1600. It wasn't the greatest two ever wins back-to-back in Iowa history, and Mike wrote about this today, but by golly, as far as excitement is concerned, you're not going to find a whole lot more than the Northwestern game followed by the Rutgers game.
Not at all. 4702 on the text line. Joe said he was looking for Bear at the top of the key.
There you go.
But he wasn't at the top of the key.
He's off a little bit.
Top of the key and the out-of-bounds sign. Anyway,
he moved a little bit. Hey, he knew what he was doing, right? 319-366-1600. The Hawkeyes get a big road win at Rutgers as Rutgers frustrated, much like Northwestern was. Northwestern basketball tweeted out to Rutgers.
That was good.
It's only good when you're on the winning side of that thing. It's not so much if you're on the losing side of that, but they had empathy for them. Let's just say that. And you mentioned Iowa State. What a win. You know, this Cyclone team, you don't know.
That text, by the way, was something along the lines of support group begins in an hour or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. For Iowa State, I have learned with this team this year that if you tell them something can't be done, oh boy, that is a challenge. And they just dig in with both heels and go after it. And that's what happened Saturday in Manhattan. Played good defense. Now, Wade getting injured did not help Kansas State. He has to be in for K-State.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that injury is going to linger for the rest of the year. But even without Wade, or even with Wade, Iowa State was still playing good basketball. And when you make 14 threes, you're not going to lose more often than not. I don't care if you're playing the Globetrotters at their place. You're probably not going to lose if you hit 14 three-pointers. And Iowa State hit 14 three-pointers in Manhattan on Saturday.
Maybe that's been the general's problem all these years.
Not enough threes.
I don't know. But yeah, we talked to Kevin Lehman last Thursday, and I think it was Kevin who told us that Iowa State needed to match Kansas State's toughness. And I thought for a better part of 40 minutes, Iowa State did that. Answered every run that Kansas State managed to put forward. Although it wasn't many, but shared the basketball. Wigginton made some huge threes. He's the Big 12 Player of the Week. Talen Horton-Tucker, Cameron Lard was big at times. This is a tough, gritty win at a tough place to play.
It is, and it kept Iowa State within shouting distance, only one game out. It's a logjam now in the Big 12. The Big 12 is just throw a blanket on top of the top five teams. And, oh, by the way, who's right there in the middle of it again? Mm-hmm. You can't throw dirt on them because here come the Kansas Jayhawks. Mm-hmm. And with a chance to win, you know, Big 12 title number 20 or 2,315 in a row or whatever it is. But K-State still has the one-game advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Still has the one-game advantage, but they got to have Wade in that lineup. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's the most valuable guy to a team in the Big 12.
That didn't hurt Iowa State's cause by any means. Back to the text line, 3777. Sometimes it pays to be lucky. Hawks form a lotto pool. Go Hawks. 3148, buzzer beater to beat two mediocre teams in Rutgers and Northwestern. Iowa is an average team.
I disagree. Respectfully. It's hard to win on the road. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, and it's hard to win in the Big Ten, period.
It's hard to win in the Big Ten. It's hard to win in the Big 12.
The season is littered with evidence.
You're right.
I wouldn't say I was a great team.
No, not saying that. But this is not an average team. 20-5 is not an average basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
Even with those three buzzer-beating games, it's a 17-8 team if they dropped all three of those. And it's still not not an average basketball team.
Matt, at 81-30, the Hawks have used up a lot of karma this year. I have no expectations of a tournament run.
We'll see.
I will say Iowa and as well as Iowa State, they're both going to be tough matchups. When you get out of the league and you face, name a team, Western Kentucky or
Buffalo,
whoever it may be.
I don't want any part of Buffalo if I'm Iowa or Iowa State.
Those are tough matchups.
Yeah, everybody's a – look what happened to Virginia last year, number one seed. First time in history they go down to the number 16 seed. It's not an automatic Seth Davis Sharpie into the next round. No matter who you're playing out there. Yeah, there are some games that you're going to be more favored than others, but you still got to play the game.
Matt, the Michigan fan on the text line, I've never heard of a pretty loss. I'll take an ugly win all day. I wish Michigan could have banked in a game-winning lucky shot to beat Penn State on the road. There you have it.
Very good example, Matt. That's how hard it is to win on the road in a major conference. Michigan goes up to Penn State. You knew Penn State was going to get somebody this year. Iowa got out of there early in the Big Ten season. Michigan wasn't as fortunate to get out of there.
1972 on the text line. Whoever sent that last text about Iowa being mediocre is full of it. I changed the word there.
Thank you.
The Big Ten from top to bottom is the best league in college basketball this year.
I find it hard to say anything other than that. I think it is the toughest league from top to bottom this year. Not saying Penn State's great, but Penn State did beat Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
319-366-1600, 325. We're going to take a break, come back, talk a little bit more about the basketball weekend, plus some other sports that went on this weekend that were big. I'm going to kick that around. Mike Halas going to join us as well coming up here in just a little bit. You're listening to the Gym Class Monday Edition right here on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Diane, word around the office is you're thinking about quitting.
Dave, I'm sorry you had to find out from someone else.
It's really hard to find great employees like you, so I'd like to make you a counteroffer.
Dave, why are you pulling up your shirt? What is that?
It's a tattoo of your face on my lower back. So what do you say? Diane?
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:28 on the button. Mike Loss going to join us in about 5 minutes or so as we'll talk some more in-depth about Iowa and Iowa State basketball in general. And whatnot. We'll do that with Mike coming up in just a little bit. Told you about high school basketball coming up tonight for you. Also tonight, girls regional finals in classes 2A and 1A. They will set the field. 3A was set on Saturday night. Center Point Urbana gets the number 2 seed. They will open with West Marshall bright and early at 10 o'clock. The tradition continues, unlike any other. An Eastern Iowa team gets the 10 o'clock game Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. We got one, probably have more than one, but Tuesday, Center Point Urbana will take on West Marshall. And tonight it will be Cascade and Maquoketa Valley going at it. North Lynn in action tonight as well, as they will take on Wilton. And then also in 1A, Springville goes up against Central Elkader. That will be up at Cedar Falls coming up tonight. So best of luck to all the area teams as they go at it. And then the 4As and the 5As will go at it tomorrow night. We've got for you a pair of 5A games tomorrow night on 107.5 FM. It'll be Prairie and Urbandale. And on 106.3 FM, it'll be City High taking on Bettendorf. We've got Iowa State basketball tomorrow. Iowa State hosting Baylor, who they lost to on the road, by the way. That will be on 1600 AM at 7 o'clock coming up tomorrow. Other things occurred over the big sports weekend and had nothing to do with Riviera and the win by J.B. Holmes over the weekend. But you and I both, you know, a lot of people take in, even if they're not a race fan, the Daytona 500. It's the Super Bowl of NASCAR, and it was your typical Daytona 500, except they tore up a lot more stuff than they usually do. It was a 5.5-hour race, and races should not be 5.5 hours long, Mark Dukes. But the win to Denny Hamlin in the Daytona 505 yesterday.
I tend to watch the start and the finish of the Daytona 500. I'll flip in, as I did yesterday, every now and then to see how Landon Castle was doing. And he was doing okay. He had to suffer a pit penalty, which set him back a lap. It didn't make much sense to me. But at the end, 10 laps to go, Landon was inside the top 20 and challenging for even better finish. And he got caught up in a crash with three or four
laps. Which wasn't his doing.
Not at all. He was wrong place, wrong time, which often happens in that race. But I guess I just kind of shook my head. There was only 19 of 40 cars left on the track at the end. Why all the race? And it's happened for years. I understand
that. It's restrictor plate racing.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan of it. I think a lot of people that are kind of more of the, I'll probably get in trouble, but purist racing fans don't like it. Because, like I said on Friday, you depend on so many other people to get yourself to the front. And when you're racing 30 cars within 2 inches of each other, when one guy gets out of line by, you know, a mistake, that's just human nature. And, you know, you're not going to have 200 perfect laps around there when you're going, you know, 190 miles per hour, 2 inches away from the guy in front of you, 2 inches away from the guy to the side of you, 2 inches away from the guy behind you.
Don't try that at home.
No, please don't on 380 if you're out there right now.
Although some do.
It's just, you know,
you're gonna have
something happen.
It usually makes for an exciting finish. I will say that. But when nine out of the last 15 Daytona 500s have gone overtime.
It's almost expected.
510 or whatever it may be.
It's 505 yesterday.
505 yesterday. It drug on forever.
It did. Those big cleanups, they had 40 minutes in between two of those crashes yesterday, and that's just and I felt for the announcers. I felt for Mike Joy, who does a great job, and I felt for Waltrip, and I felt for Gordon, because you have 40 minutes to fill. And it's just, it's tough.
And we talked about it earlier between ourselves that teams like Landon Castle's Starcom Racing team don't have multiple cars and unlimited budgets. And there he wrecks in one of the last five laps. And before they get to Atlanta this week, you know, got to scramble, get the car back together. And it's not the same as it would be for Hendrick or Gibbs or somebody like that.
Absolutely not. 319-366-1600 here. We're going to take a break, come back. Michael Ah set to join us to talk Iowa basketball and a whole lot more when we come back.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
That bathroom upgrade is within reach at the Winter Kitchen and Bath event now at the Home Depot. Starting with the exclusive Pfister Venturi Bath Faucet. It's a two-handle, widespread brush nickel faucet with a spot defense finish that resists water spots and fingerprints. And right now, you can get your hands on one for just $119. So upgrade your bathroom and let the savings flow. The Winter Kitchen and Bath event at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 24th while supplies last.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
When it comes to safety, nothing is more important than your vehicle's brakes. If it's hard to stop or you hear squealing or grinding noises during braking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll find the brake parts you need from trusted brands like BrakeBest and BrakeBest Select at everyday low prices. Play it safe with brakes from O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Back in the gym class, KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3. We got basketball coming up tonight. Check out KGYMradio.com. We've got the schedule up through Wednesday. We'll put the rest up as soon as the show is here. We'll have that up for you at KGYMradio.com. And tonight, basketball action starting at 6:20 on the FMs with Clear Creek Amana taking on Assumption, followed by Xavier in action against Vinton Shelsburg. 1600 tonight, 6:50. It'll be Kennedy hosting Burlington. After that, it'll be the Cyclone Coaches Show coming your way on 1600 AM. Iowa basketball next in action tomorrow night as well. Another top 25 showdown, as this time it'll be the Maryland men coming in to Carver Hawkeye to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. And to talk Iowa basketball, Michael Ah set to join us right now. We'll talk other basketball as well. Mike, of course, covers the Hawkeyes, also the sports columnist for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas, H-L-A-S. And I know you're being travel agent, Mike Halas, today. You're trying to talk your fellow media brethren, John Bonenkamp, friend of the show, into taking tours of Europe. So
yeah, why not?
Why not? You only live once.
I think you two guys should do it sometime.
I would love to. It's on my bucket list. It's something I want to go to.
You don't want me leading a tour, Mike.
You know, really, wouldn't that be horrible? I mean, I've jokingly talked about it at home. It's the last thing in the world I want to do. But you start thinking about it, and it's like, oh, my God, to have to be nice to other people and be trapped with them for 2 weeks? Oh, my. Who can do that?
Takes a special person to lead those.
Well, it takes a decent person.
Special and decent right there.
We'll give you an opportunity to answer our poll question, Mike, just fresh out, kgymradio.com. Who did it better, Jordan Bohannon against Northwestern or Joe Wieskamp against Rutgers? Yes and yes?
Yeah, yes. I mean, Bohannon's was a swish. So from that regard, Bohannon. But for craziness and shock value, I'll go with Wieskamp.
I said earlier, it reminded me of that Jordan and Bird commercial, you know, off this, off that, you know, just the way that whole play turned out. And I also made a comment that I was surprised Rutgers didn't have anybody on the ball the length of the court, say a seven-footer, make Connor run the baseline maybe, make it a little more difficult.
Yeah, well, there's two ways of looking at that, at least. And one of them is that they doubled Bohannon, which you certainly would understand, given the way he's tortured teams down the stretch. In hindsight, I think I might have put the seven-footer on McCaffrey, Connor, that is. I mean, putting him on Fran wouldn't have done any good. But I can certainly understand the doubling of Bohannon. And the pass was good, but it wasn't perfect. You know, however, I did what Fran McCaffrey said that they wanted to do. He called it a tap play. And so Bear got his hand on it, and it got tapped into the right place, and then they got the shot. And I've told people all weekend that I could have hit that very same spot that Wieskamp hit Saturday night, except my shot would have caromed right back at the face instead of into the basket. Shooters shoot. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a perfect shot, but when you know how to shoot, you can figure out ways to score that you know, normal people can't.
You wrote a very good piece today, Mike, that perhaps there have been more important, and there have been more important, two-game stretches with back-to-back wins and the style of which those wins happened. But as far as excitement is concerned, not going to find a whole lot more than those two.
No, if 8 days ago you said that it would be hard to look ahead to Maryland and Indiana because we were talking about the wonders of the games against Northwestern and Rutgers, that wouldn't have made much sense. But I don't think we've seen two games back-to-back where Iowa, you know, hit threes in the last second. I was reminded over the weekend of what Luke Rucker did in Ohio State. I didn't think of it, but somebody on the internet or somewhere, somebody said, what about 2002? Yeah, Rucker made a shot with 1.4 seconds left in the quarterfinals to beat Wisconsin, snapped a tie, and then he had a drive for a score at the buzzer to beat Indiana in the semifinals in Indianapolis. 17 years ago. So, I mean, this stuff just isn't a run-of-the-mill thing. And what we saw in the last week was something that I don't expect to see again.
You know, it took a Rutgers three-point shot, clock winding down off the front of the rim, off the backboard.
Which is pretty fortunate as
basket.
Well.
It was. But how did you think Iowa played overall in that game?
Not terrible, not especially distinguished. It was a grinder's game for 40 minutes. I thought Iowa did very well to get a bit of an upper hand for much of the second half. You know, sort of ironically, I guess it is ironically, Bohannon missed a free throw to leave that door open.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if he makes that, do I have my math right on this, that Rutgers could have just every time I get into this stuff, I get in trouble. But I mean, he missed a free throw, you know, late that could have been a difference maker. It didn't turn out to be. And Wieskamp bailed him out, so that was kind of different. But as far as how the team played, not awful. I mean, Rutgers is a tough team to beat at home. They play a tough style of basketball that I don't think Iowa enjoys. It's a bit of a slower pace. It's more physical. And yet, you know, Iowa was down 6 in the first half, but chopped that to 1 at halftime. Led almost the whole second half. So, would you say they were deserving? I kind of would, yeah.
Michael Haas joining us here at 3:43 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM, and now sets up another biggie tomorrow night. This time it's the Maryland men that come in after the Maryland women were here yesterday for a big game against Lisa Bluter's team. But top 25 teams going at it. And all of a sudden now, if Iowa wins, you can start talking about double bye possibilities here. But they got to get the victory tomorrow night, I think, before you start bringing that equation into the play.
Yeah, you do. And there's, you know, obviously there's a lot of season left. Iowa's got 6 games left. That's a lot. 3 road games. That's a lot. Looking at the last 6 games, I see only 3 of the 6 in which I would say Iowa has, you know, better than a 50-50 chance to win. Not saying that they can't win any of them. Of course they can, but I also see 5 of the 6 that to me are potential losses. So it's the same story as all year. The next game is not easy, and Maryland's a good team, but there are things about this game that I like from Iowa's standpoint. First and foremost, Maryland's a really young team that it's won 4 road games in the Big Ten, but against ranked teams it hasn't won on the road. Up at Michigan Saturday, it lost 65-52. Among its top 8 players, 5 are freshmen, and you know how that can go in February. Things can kind of, well, not just kind of, things become a grind. And their best player is a guard named Anthony Cowan, but the last 5 or 6 games, he slowed down. So, you know, in that environment in Iowa City, maybe it's set up for an Iowa win tomorrow night. Again, who knows? I mean, last game they played at home, Northwestern should have beaten them. But sometimes when you win games like this, it propels you to then raise your game against better teams.
If you missed it out there, and I noticed a tweet you had, Mike, Friday night's Iowa-Indiana game going to start somewhere after 8 o'clock, and I know that pleases you.
Yeah, it's 8:15. They moved it for, I'm sure, network purposes. I guess you can have a leisurely dinner if you're going to Iowa City that night and going to the game. In fact, you can probably begin having breakfast for all I know, but that's it's their game and we just cover it, that's all.
It is not easy to win on the road, period.
Never has been. Never probably will be. Basketball is just a different game. It's intimate. It's intense.
Crowds on top of you, which it is at the rack in Piscataway.
I mean, it's gladiator-like in some ways. And then, I know that the courts are all 94 feet long and the baskets are the same height, but rims are different. Something I hadn't given much thought to in the past, but, you use the home team's basketball. And to you and me, you'd say, what difference does it make? They're not different sizes or shapes. But, if you're used to using a Nike basketball and you get an Adidas basketball, I guess that it matters. There's just 100 things. You're not sleeping in your own bed, blah, blah, blah. So winning on the road is of paramount importance to separate yourself from middle of the pack, and Iowa has won 4 Big Ten road games as opposed to 1 last year, and that is why Iowa's 9-5, and you're talking about a shot at finishing in that top 4.
Iowa State's played some very nice games, maybe none better than Saturday at K-State. What say you?
That or the win at Texas Tech, and of course the home win over Kansas where they dominated Kansas. Those 3 leap to mind. Those are 3 good wins for the tournament committee. What kind of struck me today was in the latest NET rankings, which the NCAA is using for its basketball selection committee, Iowa State's 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa, by contrast, is, I think, 28th. And that's all about strength of schedule. Iowa State has won on the road against Mississippi, which was ranked at the time. It beat Texas Tech, which was ranked at the time. It won big Saturday at Kansas State, which leads the Big 12. These are good wins. These are really good wins. And they threw off the The previous game was a week earlier. They lose at home to TCU, don't play a lick of defense. And they gathered themselves and shook it off. So, I mean, if they lose that game, realistically, they're not a Big 12 contender. Today, they are.
Some people making, I don't know, people make things bigger than they should on social media, but Fred Hoiberg is going to come back, speak to the team and whatnot. And I think some Cyclone fans raise their eyebrows, but I don't know why.
There's always people raising eyebrows.
Yeah.
I mean, in the year 2525, I promise not be on social media.
I will join you.
I mean, there could be miracle cures between now and then, but
let's see what Ted Williams do.
Yeah,
is that still available?
Frozen.
Yeah. Someday that head's gonna thaw and Ted Williams is gonna be laughing at the rest of us. But Fred Hoiberg didn't even recruit any of those players that are on Iowa State's current team, did he?
No.
None?
None.
What difference does it make? You know, it's like, here's Fred Hoiberg. He coached here, and he was an all-time great player here. Coached in the NBA, played in the NBA for 10 or 11 years. He knows stuff. Why don't you listen to him for a few minutes?
He's the mayor of the damn town for...
Well, that in itself wouldn't make me listen to a person, but.
Well, if there's one thing I've learned about this Iowa State team this year, and I said it a little earlier today, if you tell them they can't do something, I think this team gets so emotionally charged up to prove you wrong that they go out and just play extraordinary.
Maybe. And, you know, maybe they just have the best overall talent in the Big 12, and that when that talent is in sync, they're the best team.
Which 1-7, I think they do.
I think so, too. I mean,
now that Kansas is without the two guys.
Right. And sometime, and with Kansas State's Wade kind of ouchy again, that made a difference Saturday, too. I still think Iowa State wins. But, I mean, there are times when Iowa State has five guys on the court who are playmakers. And there aren't very many teams in college basketball who can do that. It's just that simple. And when the freshmen are right, as they were Saturday, that's a really good team. Those guys just didn't have it against TCU. Nobody seemed to, really. But Horton Tucker and Halliburton, when they're at their best, that is such a good team. Of course, Wigginton is rounded into health, and he's looking like Wigginton. So, you know, they've got players. It's being able to sustain. They've got Oklahoma tomorrow night at home. I think that's a should win. Then they go to TCU Saturday, and it's another one of those revenge-type games. So if they win two this week, it gets real interesting over there.
Of all the cool stories this weekend, you have to throw the Iowa women in. I mean, for one thing, over 10,000 people show up after a snowstorm the night before, and I'm not sure – that would have been the case had Maryland not been the opponent. But I looked at that game, Mike, and I thought Maryland had Gustafson figured out for a quarter or a half at least, and then she just exploded in it. You just have to be constantly amazed at what she does.
Yeah, she wore them down, and that's what she does. I mean, I would suspect that she has more second-half points than first-half points this season. I was going to go to that game myself, but my street didn't get plowed till about 8 o'clock last night. And, you know, no woe is me story. We all had problems with the weather, but I live on a hill, and it just wasn't safe for me to leave the house.
No, that's a mountain. It's not a hill, okay?
Yeah. but in a way, it was – in one aspect, it was good because I watched the ESPN2 telecast of it, and you kind of – you see things through a different lens that way. And watching her – and it was like, yeah, she didn't score much early, but I wouldn't have called it a slow start because other Iowa players were getting shots and good shots, and the offense was flowing. And then the more the game went on, the more she went to work, and it was okay, America. People who are watching this game, I think, can see how she puts up those numbers every night.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, a complete shock to everyone out there, Megan Gustafson has been named the Big Ten Player of the Week this week. Once again.
Why bother anymore? Why bother?
She'll be getting that in August.
Baseball and softball season, she's going to be getting that. I think they're just going to just have that typed in there permanently a little bit. But I went there yesterday because I wanted to see Megan Gustafson play one more time in person. It had been a while, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat. And I don't know if you're going to see a 10,000 crowd for Northwestern, but you're going to see that place more than half full, I think, for Senior Day. One more home game.
Right, and then they're going to have at least one and perhaps two NCAA tournament
games
there.
Right,
like,
right.
Which is pretty good stuff. I mean, look, if they win the last three, they at the worst share the conference title. And Maryland is really good. You know, I mean, what, Maryland has lost 10 Big Ten games in the 5 years it's been in the league. That's crazy. So that was a great win yesterday. And they have, you know, it's when you get a talent like Gustafson, the one thing you always worry about is, are you going to take advantage of it? For instance, Indiana's men's team has Romeo Langford. It was a state holiday when he announced he was coming to Indiana, but they haven't capitalized on it. And he's going to be gone after this year, so it's a waste. But Gustafson, so far, you know, knock on wood, she's a championship-worthy player, and they've got a chance to get her one.
And I think Iowa's going to be home for their part of the NCAA tournament. I think Iowa State's going to be home.
I'd recommend a trip to Port Wing if you're ever up by Lake Superior. I've been there, done that. It's quite the town.
Does it snow there this time of year? Because I could really go for a change of pace.
It snows 8 months of the year up there, I think.
It cannot be any worse than it is here. As I take a look at a map here that shows anywhere between 3 to 8 inches of snow in coming tomorrow night into Wednesday yet again in eastern Iowa. So, yeah, safe travels to Iowa City tomorrow night, Mike.
Yeah, well, that toboggan I bought before the season is starting to pay off.
Mush, mush.
Read his stuff at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. Mike, appreciate it as always, man.
Likewise.
All right, we'll take a break, come back, and wrap it up after this.
We were naive about all things money.
And we maybe put money into places and paid things that we thought were the most important thing, but maybe necessarily big picture weren't always the biggest and best thing to do.
We were just so tired of renting, and you know, we rented at several places. We felt like it was time, we needed help. And so we talked to Joe at DuPaco. That opened the door to us doing a money makeover. It put everything in black and white right before us. We were getting close. We knew we had the right amount of income. We knew that our credit scores had skyrocketed. We just need to find that right home.
Did the application through DuPaco. Joe was able to get us pre-approved, I think, as we were sitting in her office.
We came into the house for the first time. It was awesome. We're so thankful that we had the tools that DuPaco gave us.
Learn the whole story at dupaco.com/impactful. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, Sean Holly here with two good reasons to shop the winter sale at Holly's Shop for Men. First, if you know what you want or you just like to browse, there are plenty quality items to choose from. But if you want help, we have a dedicated staff of experienced men's clothing consultants to help. Second, you can save as much as 70% right now. Great selection, help when you need it, and up to 70% off. The winter sale, Holly Shop for Men, Lindale Mall.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
358 here on the program. It helps if I turn my volume up on the slider here, Mark. Poll question one more time before we leave.
KGYMRadio.com is where to find it. Brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. Who did it better, Jordan Bohannon against Northwestern, Joe Wieskamp against Rutgers? Right now, it's right at 50-50.
Yeah, and I think it's going to probably end up at 50-50, just depending on your taste out there. All right, KJ Pilcher joins us coming up tomorrow to wrap up the state wrestling tournament, talk some college wrestling as well. Hawkeyes get a piece of the Big Ten championship pie along with Penn State. And then tonight we got high school basketball. Zach Mackey and Eric Peterson will have the doubleheader over at Xavier starting at 6:20. Myself and Phil Dunn will be over at Kennedy in Burlington, and that will be at 6:50 on 1600 AM, followed by the Cyclone Call-In Show. Have a great night, Mark.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. This has been the...